Constitution, Bible, or yesterday's grocery list. They all began with a scribble. Welcome to Scribble, 30 minutes of conversation, comments, and reviews on reading, writing, editing, publishing, and selling books. I'm Don Wooten.
And I'm Roald Tweet. Our guest today is Sean Leary, whose writings have appeared across almost all forms of media. After we talk to Sean, we'll hear from Garrison Keillor on today's Scribble.
Sean Leary, it's hard to know how to characterize you.
A lot of people have said that.
Yeah, well, you
sometimes have, good, sometimes bad.
You were a reporter, a reviewer. Then you wrote some. You've written books all along. Yeah. You have a blog. You've done My Verona. You're part of that. What haven't you done?
Not much. I've pretty much worked for every media outlet, electronic and print, here in the Quad Cities. At one point or another, in some capacity, I've done art. I have a degree in art, another degree in journalism, minors in English history and psychology. I have a master's from USC in education. Master's at Stanford.
What's the matter with you? Why can't you stop writing?
I love it. I've been writing professionally since I was 11 years old. I was hired by a magazine called The Comics Buyer's Guide, which covered comics and science fiction. And I just loved writing from the time I was a kid. I sent them some samples. They had absolutely no idea I was 11 years old. And they hired me just based upon my writing. And I began doing so. And I wrote for the papers up. I grew up around Chicago. And so I wrote for the newspapers around the area throughout my teens. And honestly, I went into school to be a lawyer, as pre-law. And quickly discovered that it wasn't for me. I loved certain aspects of it, but there were others that just didn't nourish my soul creatively. And so I decided to go in art and get a degree in painting. And while I was doing so, I was recruited by the school newspaper to work for them. And the journalism department offered me a scholarship to stick around and get a second degree. So that kind of kept me in journalism and kept me in writing. And again, it was something that when I'm not getting paid for it, it's something I just love doing. It's a wonderful thing to be able to create a brand new world out of the spark of nothingness.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've tried some interesting things in recent years, and one of the things I remember, and I'm not sure what happened to it, is an attempt to bring good news to people.
You're correct. I did a website. It was an online newspaper called getyourgoodnews.com. And I love the idea. It was something that when I was at the Dispatch, I really wanted to sort of push, is the fact that if you look at the population, the vast majority of people, I think, are good or neutral. And unfortunately, it's the negative aspects of people that end up getting sensationalized in the media. If you look at, it's always the teenager that shoots up the school that gets in the newspaper, but it's not the 99 other kids from that school that are on the honor roll or are volunteering or just sort of minding their own business. And I wanted to bring that to people on this online site, Get Your Good News, and it was all good news all the time. It was mostly entertainment and arts and things of that nature, but it was positive features about people making a difference in their community.
And so that's what killed it, huh?
Well, no, actually, to be honest, what killed it was the fact that I went through a divorce and a custody battle, and my attorney told me that it was intellectual property of the marriage, and so it was best to kill it. Oh. And otherwise, I was going to have to put a value on it and try and buy out my now ex-wife. So,
well, see, there's your law degree.
Law degree, right? Yeah. So you learn that, those things. And so by the time the court battle was over with, it had really lost its momentum. And so, but around that same time, that was when I was writing for Yahoo, the website, and I was also doing work for clients. And the Quad City Times approached me about working for them. And I really liked, and still like Craig Brown and David Burke quite a bit. I respect them a lot, and I was happy to work for them, and I still am. And I also do a lot of news reporting for the Quad City Times. And in that capacity, they put me on that beat, basically, as I cover a lot of positive news. I cover a lot of good things that people are doing in the community, whether it's a marathon to raise, you know, money for food banks or something like that, or it's just an event that's at the Family Museum for kids and families that, you know, brings a positive light to the community. And that's those are the stories I really like writing, because they highlight the fact that we all have nobility and goodness within us.
Oh, well, it's but the books. I mean, Roel, have you seen anyone that writes such a diversity of books?
I can't keep up with him. I have several of his signed copies, but every time I open the paper Thursdays, I guess when the news of the week is on in the Argus, there's Sean Leary doing another book writing, writing another book, going into a whole different area, children's. Literature is one of your more recent things. Tell us about that.
Well, it started when I became a father of my son Jackson, who's 6 years old. And when I was when he was an infant, I used to write him stories, bedtime stories. And so I decided to turn one of them into a book. And he was, as I was illustrating it, he was drawing alongside of me. And I decided to incorporate his illustrations into the book. And that was the birth of Here Comes the Goot, which is a kid's book that was written when he was 2 years old. And he collaborated with me on the illustrations. And every 2 years or so, we do another book. We've done 4 books now. The most recent was called Baby Bird. And it's a really cute, heartwarming story of parents' love for their kids. And it was based upon a drawing that Jackson did for me in a coffee shop. And he drew this little bird, and it said, "Tweak, tweak, I love you, Daddy." And so I based the story entirely on that. We also have a book called 9 Little Penguin Ninjas, which teaches kids beginning math in the single digits as well as beginning reading. And another book, Go Race Cars Go, which teaches kids beginning numbers and beginning reading. And having a master's in education and being a father, I really like working with kids because they are natural artists and creators, and they have this amazing imagination and spark to them. And it's really cool to see a kid pick up a book and just fall in love with it and have it introduce them to such an amazing world of literature.
Have you been able to keep that up in your son? The problem with kids I discovered is that by the age of third grade, they're already sort of reluctant to share their writing, and by the time they get to Augie, no hands go up whatsoever.
I was always the one who put my hand up, obviously.
Right, but you never took it down, right?
No, I never did. I never did. I remember when I was in high school and going into college, I had teachers who wanted to try to convince me to become a performance artist because I never had any problem revealing myself or, you know, exposing myself.
Well, that brings us to My Verona. I mean, what is that and how did that come about?
Well, My Verona came about. Actually, Tristan...
First, tell us what My Verona is.
My Verona is a film and production company that was co-founded by Tristan Tapscott and myself. And it was co-founded in 2004. To basically put together and produce the show Your Favorite Band, which was a show that I wrote, which was really unlike any other show that had been done in the Quad Cities and has up to this point, because it incorporates film as well as live action theater, and it used the entire venue of Comedy Sports, where there were some scenes at the bar, there were some scenes at the stage, some scenes in the audience, everything. It was basically like surround theater, and a lot of that was just because I wanted to do something that I'd never seen before, and I liked writing film, and I liked writing theater, and I thought, why not combine the two? I mean, really, when you have theater, you have scene, you know, lights up, lights down, so why not go from the stage to a filmed bit? And then go back to the bar, and then go back to somewhere in the audience. There's no real law on what you can and can't, you know, use to incorporate into a scene. And so we started off with Your Favorite Band, and it was tremendously successful. And so Tristan and I had such a good time doing it. We thought, you know what? Why not do this? Why don't we form a production company? And at the time, I was a bachelor. I didn't have any kids. And so I bankrolled it. I paid for all the royalties and everything. And Tristan and I put in an exorbitant amount of time to produce these shows. But we had such a great time doing it. It was well worth it. Then we finally got to a point where I had gotten married to my now ex-wife, Jackson's mother. And I was ready to she became pregnant. And I knew that, you know, I was going to have a son coming, and I know the hours of theater are very demanding.
Yep.
And so I thought, okay, well, I've got to give this up. to, you know, because I don't want to miss anything with my son. I wanted to spend as much time with him as possible because I realized that those early years are you can never capture them again. And if you miss something, you miss it and it's gone. And so I wanted to spend as much time with him as possible. And so I took a step back from theater, but Tristan and I remained really good friends. We always kind of knew that at some point when the time became right, then in My Verona was going to be revisited. And that time actually happened about a month ago. We were having coffee together. We got talking and we thought, you know what? This is the right time to kind of bring back My Verona. And we approached Denny and Brett Hitchcock because our home had always been the Speakeasy next to Circa 21. And they were really enthusiastic about the idea of us bringing it back as well. And so we've decided to go forward with a season next year. Our first show is going to be an original show. It's called Shots to the Heart, which is a show I'm writing. It's about true terrible tales of dating disasters. And it's being held on Valentine's Day at 7 p.m. And it's for couples and non-couples alike. The couples can come and watch the show and laugh at it and be thankful that they're part of a couple and don't have to date. And the people who are single can go and have a few drinks and kind of commiserate in the fact that the thing they're watching on stage is what they're having to go through in their lives. So I think it'll be a lot of fun, and I think people really enjoy it.
Is there a central point around which all this activity whirls? I mean, is it simply a compulsion to write?
Yes, it is. It's something that I have within me that I never want to lose. And that's why I think I do so many different genres, is I don't really follow up a set plan of, you know, I'm going to be just this kind of a writer. I'm only going to fit in this genre. I sort of follow wherever the muse takes me. And if I feel like doing a kid's book, I do a kid's book. If I feel like doing a poetry book, I do a poetry book. The other book that I'm out signing now is The Arimathean, which is a fantasy action adventure novel, which has been described as Lord of the Rings meets the Bible. And it's about what if the three magi were ninja wizards sent to protect Joseph and Mary on the road to Bethlehem. And it's the first book in the trilogy. The second book is called The Blood of Destiny. And in The Blood of Destiny, the 12 disciples are sort of like the Dirty Dozen. They're Jesus' bodyguards, and they're ninjas that Jesus handpicked. They're all part of a secret society that basically is here to protect the world. And Jesus handpicked the 12 disciples to be his bodyguards. And within The Blood of Destiny, it takes place between the death and resurrection, and Satan and the Roman Emperor Tiberius are attempting to abscond with Jesus' body and turn it into the Antichrist.
Boy.
And rule the world.
Whoa!
And it's up to the 12 disciples and the three magi and Joseph of Arimathea, who is the character, the title character of The Arimathean, to stop that from happening. And so they are attacked by demons and, you know, all different types of evil people and such.
The whole trilogy, or is this just book
that's
one?
The Blood of Destiny is book two. The Arimathean is book one. Book three is Disintegration, and that's going to come out next Easter. I'm in the process of writing it right now.
Boy.
And I will tell you, it's set in the future, although it jumps back and forth in time. In the first chapter, the Arimathean, who has become immortal, ends up killing Hitler. So that's how it starts.
I would say you have no lack of imagination, Sean.
Thanks, Tom.
A compulsion to write and a wild imagination. I guess that sums up Sean Leary right there. Yeah.
Well, you don't stop with the writing. How do these things get published, Sean?
I actually run my own independent press.
I know. Yeah.
Because I like having full...
In your spare time.
Yeah, I like having full creative control of all my writing. And I publish books for other people, too. And I work as a book doctor and do ghostwriting and help people get their books published. And people can, if they're interested, they can go to SeanLeary.com. It's SEANLEARY.com or SeanLeary007.com or email me at SeanLeary@SeanLeary.com.
So even if somebody had a good idea for a story, you could sort of tell them a little bit about how to go about writing it.
Yeah.
And then
we
end up publishing it?
We cannot contain this man within the limits of this program.
No, well, in addition to all of this, you write a blog, right?
I do, yeah. I have a couple blogs. I'm on all social media as SeanLeary007. So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, everything. I'm SeanLeary007.
The problem, I think, would be trying to avoid Sean Leary.
Right.
We will not do that, but what we will do right now is turn the program over to Garrison Keillor.